Barron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeat at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. And Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing today?
Well, it's very schizophrenic. I don't know whether to hope for rain because we have a drought or hope we don't. It doesn't rain, so I don't get evacuated today.
I know. It is. It's scary, and it's definitely, hard to deal with. I know both my kids actually go to school in Montecito, and so I'm subscribed to the same evacuation warnings.
I know, and we were at that event yesterday, which was fantastic. Where all of all the first responders were there, and I was hoping that they rested up afterwards because we may need them. I hope we don't. So let me ask you a question. Do we have a guest today?
We do. We have Gary Caesar in studio with us, and he is from Hub International. We thought this would be very relevant for all of you going through the insurance issues from the leftover from the mudslide and the fires. And so hopefully we will learn a lot today. And Gary, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here and shine any light I can on the issues ongoing.
But first, we have some articles to discuss. And the first one is from the New York Times. And it was from this Saturday's. And it says the average return for college endowments lagged the S&P 500. And at the same time it lagged the S&P 500, it is really kind of surprising that 52 to 60% of their assets are in alternative investments. And for those listeners who aren't familiar with alternative investments, it's basically everything other than stocks and bonds. It's private equity, hedge funds, collateralized debt obligations. It's basically expensive stuff that historically, at least, has been able to beat market performance with less volatility. But in the last 5 to 7 years, it's underperformed. They're very expensive. They're illiquid in many cases. And yet various high-paid pension and endowment advisors for colleges continue to stick with them.
Well, and I think what's also important is the thought behind it or the rationale was that they're non-correlating assets, meaning they should react differently than stocks and bonds to whatever the market is happening. And really, I think the title of this article, Despite Lags, Colleges Prefer Alternatives, and it's written by James B. Stewart, and the title of it is Common Sense.
You can read upside down. It's amazing. Hold it. You can read upside down.
I can. Amazing.
That's the headline you're missing. That was unbelievable.
It's one of those things where I think that that's really important, though, that the title of it really wraps it all together, is that some people just have this love affair with alternative investments where lots of times you don't even know what you own. It's this black box of investing. Normally, as you said, it's illiquid. You can't get your money out if you need it. With private equity, there you commit a certain amount of money, and then over a period of time, they keep, you know, having capital calls. So say you want to invest $100,000, they don't take it all at once. They take it in $25,000 increments or what have you. And it's definitely not for the faint of heart. And many people are enamored with the idea because it sounds sexy. But in fact, this article, as it points out, it's underperformed the traditional stocks and bonds for the last, 5 to 7 years?
Yeah. And the irony is that high-paid endowment managers need to beat the market. Otherwise, the trustees will say, why do we need you? Why don't we just invest in an index fund? And here we are in a period where index funds that don't cost anything have beaten whether it's Harvard, Yale, has beaten all of these endowments. And yet there's this view that they'll work out because they worked out in the period prior to the crash. And the problem, I think, that many of these portfolio managers are missing is that there are so many hedge fund managers and so many private equity managers that it's like, it's okay to be a New York Yankee and to be a Los Angeles Dodger and have this high quality team when you have 36 teams. If you have 10,000 teams, the quality of players will probably be less. And that's what we have today. We have thousands,
so many dollars chasing the same investments because there are just so many investments out there.
Which leads us to a companion article. It actually is not a companion article, but it pretty much should have been. It's in the Wall Street Journal, and it's entitled "The Real Risk in Private Equity." Private equity is a large portion of
what private equity means. A lot of people throw these terms around. It's just private companies. It's usually smaller, privately held companies that are startups in lots of cases, depending upon what private equity sector you're going after. Interesting fun fact, though, I dressed up as a unicorn for Halloween, and my husband went as a private equity manager.
You guys must be really fun party people. I mean, you must hang out with this wild crowd.
Yeah, trick-or-treating with 5 and 7-year-olds, super fun and right, wild.
Right. Wall Street people always have a great sense of humor. I'm glad to see that. But
I am not a Wall Street
thank you for
person.
Sharing that.
What are you talking
well,
about?
I mean, dressing up like that.
Well, that was funny.
Well, you know, it's an elitist view of, you know, dressing up like a private, how, you know, who knows what private equity is unless, you know, you very sophisticated people.
I'm not even going to touch that.
Okay. So anyway, the risk in private equity, which is the title of this article, is that the industry right now has, and this is not a misprint, $1.6 trillion dollars of uninvested money to deploy. There's a higher price today for the few deals that are around. The average deal that private equity companies are doing is now at 10.5 times earnings. So you've got this combination of very, very high amounts of unused equity that needs to find a place. Otherwise, you're going to show your investors a 0.0001% return on a money market fund, and rising prices, which makes sense, of opportunities. And this weekend, Warren Buffett made his annual speech, and he said his biggest problem is he's got, I don't know how many zillions of dollars that he can't deploy either because he can't find deals. So you would think that's a good thing. Well, in the past, whenever this has happened, you find that fund managers tend to try to chase deals and end up making really bad mistakes and buying things they shouldn't be buying.
Much like individual investors in all those bonds that we've talked about in the last few months, the bond deals that are out there just chasing return and interest rate when it really isn't there.
Exactly. And this seems to be the private equity moment, because I have another article from the Wall Street Journal about private equity. And this talks about whether or not they're going to follow Donald Trump's lead to invest in infrastructure. And one of the things Trump said when he announced his quote-unquote $1 trillion plan was that private equities would be an important component in funding, because they have all of these funds now that were marketed over the last 2-3 years for quote-unquote infrastructure projects. But the article interviewed various players, including the biggest, Blackstone, and they said they're not interested in buying new projects, which would be the thing that would stimulate the economy, because it takes too long to build something from scratch, because you have to get municipal approvals. And then by the time you get them, usually the municipality has a new mayor and they start all over again. So what they want to do is just invest in infrastructure deals that already exist. Well, to the extent that that's what they do, we have two issues. One is that won't stimulate the economy. You're just switching ownerships. But the second thing is there aren't that many deals in America. And so what you're going to end up probably happening is that you're going to have all these private equity deals that raise money off of the attractive notion that infrastructure is an important part of the next 3 years of economic growth, chasing each other for deals, for the very few deals that exist.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully some of that private equity money will go towards widening the 101 freeway so that the bottleneck doesn't happen. Back me up all the way to Carrillo Street.
So a little bit of humor in our final article today, and I love this article. It's appearance isn't what it seems to be. It's in the Wall Street Journal, and this is a true story. There is a guy named Clint Arthur, and the way the article begins, it says he is a erstwhile screenwriter, former taxi driver, organic butter salesman. He rents club space on campuses of places like Harvard, then hires actresses like Suzanne Somers, then invites financial planners to pay him a fee between $5,000 and $25,000.
Now, does the article actually say financial planners or does it say brokers?
Financial planners. I know.
Really?
They don't talk about brokers. They talk about financial planners who then can have a picture taken of them at the Harvard Club. So let me just set the stage. There's various cities have Harvard Clubs, which is the alumni club for Harvard Business School and Harvard University. And so anyone can rent a room there. So what this guy does is he rents a room. Then behind the podium in this room, he puts up a logo that looks like the Harvard logo, takes a picture of the outdoor, which is true. This was at the Harvard Club. And lets financial planners make a speech to a bunch of people and then say, I made a speech at the Harvard Club as if they were part of Harvard. And the financial planners, they interviewed.
It's such a scam.
It's a scam. The people who
like, this is why this whole article just illustrates why you really need to do due diligence on people and check their record and make sure that you're working with somebody who's reputable and has a clean record.
Well, the last and most inexplicable part is that people were willing to be interviewed for this article. So there's a guy who said that, and his name is Kurt Whipple, and he's in Plymouth, Michigan, and he said that he was very happy with the event at Harvard. It helped him attract $300,000 in new money, of which he earned $30,000.
And which is, again, a scam. It had to have been in, like, annuities or something. That's crazy.
I know. And can you imagine admitting that you got business from having your picture taken in front of the Harvard Club as if you were invited by Harvard to make a speech?
Well, it's lacking integrity is what that is.
Yeah. I'm going to have a picture of me taken in front of the studio, and I think that will...
As just radio host extraordinaire?
Radio host. I think that will do something for me.
I'm not sure. With your limo in the background, I think, would be a smart touch.
It's an excellent choice of a backdrop. I think so.
You want to know what? We could just use the green screen upstairs. It could be whatever backdrop you want.
In fact, we're going to go for a break, but I think I'm going to be leaving because I have so many speeches to make out front. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
People's Self-Help Housing is a national award-winning nonprofit organization celebrating 35 years of experience in creating affordable housing and self-sufficiency programs for lower-income families, seniors, and those with special needs. People's Self-Help Housing has helped to create over 1,000 self-help ownership homes and over 1,200 affordable rentals. 400 children annually are served through their K-12 education enhancement programs. People's Self-Help Housing is committed to expanding its core vision of providing housing for low-income low-income families, seniors, and the physically challenged. The organization also provides complimentary social services designed to assist each resident. People's Self-Help Housing believes that affordable, safe, and quality housing leads to healthy communities, which benefit us all. You can help in these efforts to create more housing and related social services by calling 962-5152. That's 962-5152.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
Or moneytalk1290 at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call or shoot us an email. Currently, we are in the studio with Gary Caesar, who is our local insurance expert, has been a great part of our community at Hub International, and a longtime Santa Barbaran. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks. Good to be here, and happy to live in this town, and didn't know how great it was till you try to move away a couple times, and then you go, I want back.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about yourself. So where else have you lived?
Well, Cal Poly, San Luis, so up in San Luis Obispo. I did college up there.
Although that's not too shabby.
It's not too bad of a place, you know. I have to tell a story. I went down to Long Beach State for a year, and I thought, Long Beach, it's a beach. It's got to be like Santa Barbara. And at 17, you think everything's right. What was where you live. It's different. So I ended up at Cal Poly is the point there.
By the way, I'm from New York, and Coney Island is not like this either.
No.
Neither is Massachusetts, right? Yeah. So you went up to school at Cal Poly, and then how did you make your way back to Santa Barbara?
Well, after some screwing around a little bit and life experiences, as we might put them, I ended up back here in town and was fortunate enough to join forces with my brother and my father. And at the time, I think another four or five potential partners, producing agents in the organization, and a growing agency. And we had offices in Thousand Oaks, Santa Barbara, up in Northern California, Napa, and things were really taking off and growing.
So before you were Hub International, this big national brand, you were really a family-owned insurance agency.
We were. And in fact, myself, Gary Caesar, and Brandon Sider is there in the office as well, and his father, one of the founders, Ray Sider, recently retired, but my father, Tom Caesar, is still there. So it is kind of nice. There's still a lot of family things going on. And as we acquire other agencies around town who can, you know, stand on their own and have for multiple years, such as Riviera Insurance, we're bringing in more families and people that built their own and then have connected to Hub.
So what made you guys take it from a family business in the beginning and really decide to go with a national partner?
Well, I think it was a succession plan that involved some of the producing agents that were there that wanted a piece of this thing. But what Hub brought to the table ultimately, and there have been some transitions through there, but what Hub brought to the table ultimately was a value in the customer and a value in resources that our staff and our advisor agents could deliver to the customer. And that was the plan. Other than that, it was going to be splitting of a smaller pie. Mm-hmm. To multiple people, and the choice was a bigger pie to split.
And isn't it also true, I don't know whether you want to talk about it, but a large company like Hub International has a lot more influence and buying power than a smaller agency when it comes to dealing with big insurance companies.
It's true, and I do want to talk about it. It's something we want to pass on to the customers, and knowing what it's like through transitions and getting an appointment with one insurer says you have to deliver, you know, this many sales or, you know, this premium revenue and contain and compete with a low loss ratio, where when you're with a Hub International, you have the ability to kind of have that checked off for the most part. The carriers are coming to us to distribute their product rather than us clipping at their heels to get a product to advise or sell on.
So in other words, or in a more simplistic form, you just have more options going with a larger, joining up with Hub International as opposed to saying a small family business, because you have that buying power, or you have the ability to have relationships with many more carriers than you would otherwise.
Correct. And I think one of the benefits where some nationally ranked brokerages have the ability to be branded with the name of the national brokerage, one of the things that Hub has been very successful in doing is not only branding you to say that you're the 10th, 8th, 20th largest brokerage or what have you, it's actually being able to deliver the additional services. And Hub has been able to identify key individuals and key agencies that specialize in things like executive practices liability, that's directors and officers, employment practices liability, and have trucking programs and have niches in the employee HR space. And these type of spokes, if you will, to the Hub and vertical niches.
Oh, very nice. It's
been a nice little tie in there. But those vertical niches, they've done a great job in allowing us to provide that back out to our customer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so talking about those services, what would you say sets Hub and you specifically apart from your competitors locally?
Well, locally, I would just say being, a second-generation connection here to – actually, my kids now are fourth generation to Santa Barbara, so that makes me third. We care about our community, and we have the ability and have connected and touched some part of many, many businesses in town. And ultimately, the difference is the growth that we've had and the ability to bring these value-added resources and actually the volume-discounted resources, I would have to say, to our customers.
So in that same line of thinking is, what do you say to those people that, go with the least expensive option? So let's say it's, I won't name anybody, but Company X always delivers the cheapest line.
Right.
Now, why should people go with you as opposed to the cheapest alternative? I think a lot of people are realizing it themselves if they live in Montecito at this point.
Right.
But what are some highlights of going with an insurance provider like yourself as opposed to just the least expensive option?
Well, let's kind of roll back on that. We are a full service agency, so we have a full personal lines department. We have a full commercial
lines. What do you mean by that?
So personal lines is home, auto, your personal umbrella, personal property, renter's insurance, all of those things. And we have a full department for that. But probably a larger part of our business is in commercial lines. So contractors, property, builders,
any
project manufacturers, any business, radio stations,
financial
advisors, and the like. So the reality is that we're able to deliver to all those. But the common point in that is, yes, it's important, and it doesn't seem important, and it seems like a line item that sometimes is too expensive to bear when you're not using it. Perhaps at the end of the day, we found certainly through this catastrophe is that looking at your property limits, looking at your liability limits is just invaluable come time of loss. And we can provide some insight to that where people have chosen not to for pennies on the dollar in comparison to what they would gain from the insurance company.
But the other thing, too, is that if you go to, and I'll name names, State Farm or Allstate or any of the other, Geico, any of the direct writers mean there's no broker.
That if you go with that person, you have to use State Farm.
Yes, they only have that one choice.
One choice.
So you're only getting, it's like going to a store and only getting one brand. And there may be better brands at any moment in time.
Right.
And a broker has an allegiance to the customer, not the product manufacturer. So in a sense, you provide the client with a fresh look every renewal period where the direct writers can't, because they're selling one thing.
That's absolutely true. And Diane made the point, there might be a cheaper product out there, but that's just because of the way those carriers have decided to distribute their product. We know about the lizard because they spent millions and millions of dollars telling us about that. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of other insurance companies that have just chosen to distribute their product, not by million-dollar commercials, but rather the independent brokers.
It's not a lizard. It's a gecko.
It's a gecko.
It's a gecko. That's correct. That's correct.
I mean, we're gonna criticize them, but let's not defame a gecko.
I'm an
animal lover. I don't mind defaming. In fact, I think we should take a break. You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me, for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
Yes, and if you're just joining us, we have Gary Caesar from Hub International in studio with us.
In studio.
And so, Gary, with all that the catastrophes, the fires and floods that people have been going through the last few months, How important is it to have a person that you can call as opposed to one of these direct providers?
And the time to call is you can call a direct provider and ask the questions, but they're just not as accessible. Often there's a different model, you know, sell it and put it in the back room and then call an 800 number.
Well, I often say, you know, if you want to avoid doing business with insurance companies, that's the best way to do it. Only insure for the risk that you cannot afford.
That's true. And in this case, you want to be sure that you understand the risk. A lot of people are looking at the bottom dollar and saying, well, gosh, if I make my home, we'll say, a little bit less cost to replace, then I'm going to spend a little bit less money. And gosh, I'm never going to use this anyway. The truth is, right now, the construction costs are increasing just because of the you know,
demand,
which is going, thank you, yeah. Which the demand is going on. Santa Barbara, all by itself, has a increased cost of construction.
Well,
so many variables.
I just saw an economic forecast where 2017 was the, I think you were there, was contractors were the had the most employment. It was the lowest number of unemployment in decades.
Right.
And so it's already a over overgrown market where it's hard to find somebody to do work for you anyways.
Right, absolutely. And now we, on top of that, we have the disaster contractors coming in and, prices of the product itself and just the increased competitiveness out there. Although competitive would drive the price down, there's just too much work to have that quick flux. So it's important to look at the proper value. And a lot of people forget the improvements they put in their home or their commercial buildings. You put that thing to bed when you buy the home. We got to get the insurance. We got to go through the process. And a lot of people never revisit the replacement cost of their home. And all these factors change that number through the years, the improvements you've done and the world itself, such as we're talking.
How many people take pictures of their home on a current basis?
Not many. And I have to tell you, even during because life is life, even during the Thomas fires, I was running around my house, and I'm an insurance agent, but I'm also human, and I was taking pictures of lots of stuff. It's a good idea there's no excuse nowadays with the digital.
Right. Everybody's walking around with a camera in their hand.
It's the mandatory selfie.
Exactly. And so now, do you actually recommend going room to room and taking photos of everything?
I do. And remember as well, go room to room. You want to show finishes. You want to show expensive furniture. And remember, this is just a quick side note, is that if you have a collection of guns, a collection of bicycles, a collection of jewelry, any of those high value items, those need to be scheduled on your homeowner's policy separately. That can't just be thrown into the blanket of personal property. Those are items that need to be discussed, perhaps appraised individually.
So if you do have those and you haven't separately scheduled artwork, jewelry, et cetera, can you add that to your policy at this point?
You can. You can now, and it could be effective quickly. If you have to show an appraiser, there might be some time, but that's something that a lot of people just go, I have $100,000 of business personal property. That will cover everything. Well, it won't, because they're going to carve out probably the most expensive stuff that you have.
Gotcha.
So it's important to schedule it, just like you mentioned.
So I think we have a caller. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Do you have a question?
Try again.
Hi there. Hi. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, my name is Rose, and I wanted to ask, so I'm a renter, and I was a little bit concerned with the fires going on. How do I know if I have appropriate insurance, or what insurance should I have?
Well, when you sign a lease, typically there is some mention of you guaranteeing that you at least hold some type of tenant liability policy. So there's two parts. There's third party and first party. And third party is a liability policy. If you have a wild, crazy party and the balcony falls and you are responsible for that and you hurt third parties. And the other part is your first party stuff, your property. Your stereo, your clothing, your furniture, etc., needs to be valued for yourself. So
you mean your Sonos speaker?
Your Sonos speakers. Things have really dwindled down these days. I remember the days with the big speakers. Rose, just for an example purposes, how were you looking at it prior? Those are the points, but how were you looking at it?
Well, for myself, I just thought of the grand total. I wasn't sure if I should have separate policies on my items or if I needed to have separate policies altogether. So I know I have a policy for my ring, for the furniture, for the laptop. That was all combined in one. But I wanted to make sure I had appropriate coverage. And I didn't know if that was included in my original policy.
Well, not looking at your policy, I'm not sure. But you've brought up some good points, which are along the lines of our conversation, that those are higher valued items. They should be scheduled. And then there are property limits that you need to select based on your individual case, and then the third party, which is the liability part. So any agent should be able to walk you through that fairly quickly, but it's okay for you to keep revisiting that with your agent.
Okay.
And if she was looking to change agents, how could she reach you or one of your team members at HUB?
Well, you can call right here in Santa Barbara, 805-682-2571. And it looks like you need personal lines. We have a full personal lines department as well as any commercial needs and employee benefits.
So, Rose, it sounds like you just need to revisit whether or not you have that liability piece of your renter's policy and what that looks like.
Okay, so the first-party liability?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Actually, that's third-party liability. Bodily injury or property damage that you might be responsible for causing to a third party.
Okay.
Great. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rose.
One of the differentiating qualities of a company like yours is the claim process, where, as you said, I think you alluded to before, if you're dealing with a direct writer, you get an 800 number.
Right.
When you deal with a company like yours, it's the same telephone number. Is that not correct?
That's correct. Now, we're a broker, so we have to connect with the loss adjuster of the individual companies. But I will tell you something that certainly the direct writers don't want to tell you is in your policy, there's a claims expense value. So if you have to have someone come around and take pictures, have to tally up financial records, you actually have funds in your policy to have that occur. That's money out of their pocket. So it's odd that they would tell you how to spend their money. But there's actually a claims expense limit.
So what do you mean by that? Like an actual insurance adjuster comes out? Or
an adjuster would come out, or you might have to get an expert out to look at your after the fact,
baby grand piano.
Exactly.
And whether or not it's able to be cleaned from the mud.
Perfect. Perfect example. And an expert's going to have to do that, and you care about your baby. So you're going to be sure it's done properly and you get the most value. That expense to have the specialist out there is covered under some limit called additional claims expense in your policy. And that's something that HUB, in fact, so that you have that individually, and then HUB can actually has advisors that can help if you want to pay a little bit more to help take that to the next level. If you have a total loss, you're going to want an advocate on your side to use that limit as well as get you all the way to the finish line.
Does that limit go against your overall limit?
That it would be part of your loss ratio, correct.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College is a nonprofit organization which supports our own Santa Barbara City College. The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College, or SBCC, funds scholarships, childcare, book grants, and other programs. Without these, many students simply would not be able to attend college. There is an amazing range of academic and vocational studies offered at City College which encourage students to find their passion and their talents. As a donor to the foundation, you have the power to change lives. Please help our community college by donating to the Foundation for SBCC. Call 730-4401 or visit us at sbccfoundation.org to find out how you can help. That's 730-4401 or sbccfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk. brought to you by Almaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Coda Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
And I'll have you know, even with this cold weather, bocce is still happening.
Now, there's two kinds of bocce. There's bocce at Arnaldi's, which is an old Italian game of rolling a ball.
And then there's bocce on ice, better known as curling.
No, I was thinking
an Olympic sport.
I was thinking of bocce, the chocolate made by Perugia in Bocci. It's chocolate.
This is new to me. You haven't brought me a sample. I don't know.
I got a blank look for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm always willing to try chocolate.
And I'm way out of here.
Stumped him. I have to say, I've never heard Neil not have a comment back. That was awesome. So in case you're just joining us, we're with Gary Caesar of Hub International. And we are talking about insurance. And so with the catastrophes that have happened, what have you learned? As a professional, I always find that I'm always learning, and most people are learning in their profession. And I'm sure this was the first time you've dealt with something like this. Specifically, what advice would you now give people that you 3 months ago you wouldn't have?
I would have given the advice, but I really would continue to harp on the point we were making, and I thank you for the opportunity to say it, is that you have to revisit the policy. You have to revisit the limits because they continue to change. Building ordinances in Santa Barbara continue to change. You can't control those. Replacement costs and construction costs continue to increase. You can't control those. You will forget about things that you bought over the years. If you're a business, you'll forget about inventories and special pieces of equipment that you've purchased. You need to stay on top of it. And I think that comes back to having a relationship with your advisor and agent and knowing the importance of it. It enters into a lot of contracts sometimes with our commercial clients, and they often are more aware of their insurance than a homeowner. But it isn't always revisited by
right.
any means.
In theory, in a business, someone's getting paid to make sure that you're up to date, right? Whereas
right.
in a homeowner, it's usually the last thing you do after whatever you're doing to go for
yes.
work.
Yes.
And so
it's one more thing to do.
One more thing to do, yeah. exactly. One yeah. more thing on the list. Now, would you say with an agency such as yours, where you have that personalized service, that you really provide that advocacy piece for clients?
We want to.
In the claims process.
We want to. And we want to be the sounding board and the liaison to the adjuster to be sure that they are determining and deciphering the policy accurately. We have paid and have made insurance companies paid claims that were first declined, but then later after pressure from our multiple agents and getting the insight from the Department of Insurance and in this case FEMA, been able to change positions that the insurance individual carriers may have set. In one case, a lot of carriers loss of use expenses. They weren't paying those in lieu of a deductible, and other people were able to get loss of use expenses paid when they didn't have to pay a deductible.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because I have some friends whose insurance company refused to pay their it was with a direct insurer. Refused to pay any evacuation costs. So whatever their costs were, they wrapped them up into their deductible.
Right.
Is that common? Is that
it is? It is common. In the same token, having a open conversation with your agent, you can wipe that away with literally no premium by having an open discussion about it. And I will say that one carrier that comes to mind, Chubb Insurance, is one that we represent. Simply writes you a check, trying to foster the customer care that they boast as well. So they don't just write you a check; they make you show the receipts. But they're very good and very responsive, and not allowing for the deductible to be met first,
which is important, especially as we have people like Neil who's sitting on the other side of the table. You were evacuated for how long during this process?
27 days.
So that's a month of time that you were evacuated that you had to, figure out
right,
some good
not,
friends or pay some big hotel bills.
So I was not reimbursed. And let me ask this question because I have a high deductible. it's always the case in investing, at least, that you know, you close the barn door after the horse escapes. What's going to happen in the future? Are companies like Chubb, who were really very, very supportive of policyholders during this period, going to tighten up because they know what it costs them? So it's one thing to be a hero when you've had years of no real serious claims. It's another thing to realize how much risk there is. So A, is there going to be a change in their way of operating? And B, is there going to be a market?
I think there's going to be a market change, not just because of Santa Barbara, but for what has happened
in Houston,
Florida, Texas, this past year.
And Chubb was recently acquired by a lesser known company, and so who didn't have as good of a reputation as Chubb.
And the CEO of that company 3 weeks ago made a speech in which he said that he is going to be looking to try to improve profitability, which is a euphemism for something that
right.
probably is not.
That doesn't bode well for the insurance.
No. Certainly they're going to take changes into consideration. And it's important for probably our listeners to understand that the insurance company doesn't take all of the hit, you know, of that in Florida. They have reinsurance. So they're spreading the risk out just like you're spreading it to an insurance company. You as the homeowner, you're spreading it to an insurance policy. They in turn are taking chunks of that risk and separating it off to other insurers,
But their rates then go up anyway.
Right.
So there, it's all kind of gets back to the consumer anyway.
It does. And
so typically speaking, after catastrophic events like we've seen here and in Houston and Florida, do rates go up for insurance in general?
I think it would be wrong for me to say, you know, it's not affected. You're going to see, you know, some
increases.
Yeah. And I think it balances out with what those insurers, reinsurers are doing with their monies in the stock market, back to your or funds, back to your side of the world. Those certainly play into their bottom line profitability.
Right,
as well.
Their reserves.
And what about a worst case scenario? The State Insurance Commissioner of California announced that, in his view, the proximate cause of the flood was the fires, and he's going to use all kinds of pressure to make insurance companies pay for flood damage. What does that do to the market? Are companies going to just say, okay, I'm out of here? If we're going to have a consumer-based commissioner that's going to do a taking, basically, in their view, are we going to want to stay in this market?
Right. It's not the first time that the insurers have to follow suit of what the commissioner might say. You know, those are business decisions. I tend to think California is a profitable, highly populated space that they're going to continue to want to write
policies
here. They just are. But certainly it's dynamic and things continue to change.
Now, after catastrophic events such as this, do you see the insurance industry start to tighten the market, or do you see that all carriers continue to write? For instance, you know, after a fire in Santa Rosa or after the fires here, were insurance companies more leery to actually underwrite policies, and did you see a spike in premiums?
Yeah, not immediately, but certainly there's moratoriums during the process. You know, I even had some real estate agents say, oh, can you get insurance, you know, here in the hills now? If you can figure that out, you're going to make a ton of money. Well, that's a bad bet.
Right.
It's a bad bet. And
when the fire is still glowing,
it's a bad
it's
bet.
Not gonna
so,
happen.
You know, again, it's going to be dynamic, but we're going to stay on top of it. And having multiple companies to put on the table, we know we can stay ahead of it.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite
invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. You know, there used to be an old joke, if you're on an airplane and the person next to you starts talking to you and they're annoying, the way to stop them from talking is to say, by the way, I'm an insurance salesman. And I have to say that you've been on the show twice already, Gary.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know whether it's that you're that interesting or the fact that because of what's going on here, insurance is interesting, but it's really a fascinating conversation that I think people are interested in.
Thank you. I think timing is everything, yeah. and so maybe I'm interesting.
So I think the next time I'm on a plane and someone bothers me, I'm going to say I'm a real estate broker?
There you go. Lawyer, real estate broker.
Yeah, lawyer know. Might be
lawyer better.
Undertaker. So, you know, I wanted to, if somebody's out there with a policy and they, you know, insurance has been a big issue that's come to everybody, the top of everybody's mind with all that's been going on. Can they come to you and have you look at their policy and will you or someone at Hub be able to help them and
absolutely
figure out where they're at?
Because
I know many people have no idea what their policy states, what it does.
Right.
They just had to get it to satisfy
to satisfy the mortgage or you know some other issue, but we're here to help. Certainly, we believe that you know if you haven't looked at it in a few years, we know we're going to be able to make some improvements. And you know, knowledge is everything. And I think you know, a half hour, an hour review of things is important. I think you have to come into that meeting saying, okay, my insurance budget, my goal here isn't to say, you know, that I'm going to save money walking out of here. And your goal shouldn't be, you know, extorted either. But to have the proper coverage and know the ins and outs of special endorsements that may negate or add coverage. And those things, on one side, there's an extended replacement cost endorsement saying you insured your home for $100,000, we're actually going to give you $125,000. That's a positive endorsement. On the other side, there's something like a protective safeguard endorsement. They say we're not going to pay for theft insurance unless we'll only pay if your burglar alarm was on. And that's a negative endorsement or exclusion. So those are things that an agent, an advisor at Hub can help you differentiate.
So when people come to you, what types of documents should they be bringing in to have somebody help them figure out what they have?
They should understand, you know, if it's business, they should understand all their sales figures and their property limits and what have you. But as a homeowner, your current policy, and then, you know, understand the year your structure was built, you know, and have a good understanding of what you own. Square footage, you know, when it was built, when the updates to the buildings were met. And those can be worked out
in time. The liability limits for auto.
Correct. So if you had the policy and just a general idea of your structure, your doing fine.
And if you see anyone at Hub, particularly Gary, you will not be bored. It will be an exciting adventure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
again.
Thanks, Gary, for being here.
I'm glad it's an exciting adventure. Thank you, Neil.
You've been talking to, you've been listening to Money Talk. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.
It's